Man, South Florida fans are so mad right now.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Alex Golish has really upset the South Florida fan base, a couple of ones in particular we're going to talk about. And I'm just shocked that I'm shocked that there's no self-realization or the little amount of self-realization there actually is in that fan base. Auburn adds a point guard from the portal, and then I want to give Jackson Coivin his flowers. We're going to do that. We're going to talk men's golf and the perspective we need to have over this kid that's been here, and the success he's had is just incredible. Before we do that, I want to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth, the tailgate extraordinaire, and also retirement planning extraordinaire as well. Reach out to him today. If you listen to the show, you can get a free report to maximize your Social Security. You can do all kinds of things to plan out your retirement to your age of 95, and you can book directly into Ford's calendar using calendly.com/Ford Stokes. Again, only available to Auburn the Barn listeners, Top Button Podcast, Village Vice, all that stuff. So make sure you show him some love. It's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. I missed this article, apparently, but it was in the USA Today. Golish did an interview, and he's asked essentially why he took the Auburn job. Why did you leave South Florida, and why did you take the Auburn job? And this quote has just gotten people irate at South Florida. Okay, so he says, "I felt like you could win a national title here, where at South Florida, I think you and everybody else knows you're never going to get there." That's not that controversial, is it? Like, are we in fantasy land? I mean, Auburn's actually won a national championship in the last 25 years. Auburn's actually played for, or I'm sorry, the last 2010, I guess that'd be 16 years. Auburn's actually played for one not shortly thereafter. To think that you can win a national title at Auburn is controversial to South Florida fans, and you're more than likely never going to win one at South Florida, more than likely never even going to get to one. Not even more than likely. You're never going to get to a national championship at South Florida. It's never going to happen. So for a coach, I know it's an unusual feeling, because usually coaches at South Florida derail their career and get fired because it's such an awful job. I know that's what you're used to having, and you're not really used to having a coach actually be successful and be able to leave for another job. I think it's only happened twice in their history. You had Willie Taggart, who crashed and burned at Florida State, and then you have Alex Golish, who brought South Florida out of the dark ages, where you only win, what, 4 games in 3 years. It's not crazy to think that, hey, I've had success here, I want to take my next step. And like, the ultimate goal of a college football coach is to go win a national championship. There's one South Florida fan in particular. His name's T-Bone, T-Bone Nation. He says, "So he lied to my face. Right after he was hired, he did a meet and greet with season ticket holders. He told my wife, son, and myself." Imagine being a season ticket holder to South Florida. "He told my wife, son, and myself he was here to win a championship and national title, and said he felt USF had a real opportunity to do that. He said that to everyone. The guy is a used car salesman and will say anything to anyone. Auburn will learn soon enough." What do you expect him to say? What do you expect him to say when he takes your job? Okay, do you say, he's like, hey, here's the deal. I'm thankful to be here. I'm trying to get to my next job from here. That's what I'm here to do. Would you have rather him said that? We're going to go win. We're going to try to win as many games as we can. And then, boom, I'm taking, I'm getting out of this conference. You just dropped off, Cincinnati, USF, SMU. So this conference is trash. I want to be here as short amount of time as I can, win as many games as I can, and turn this thing around, which he did in 1 year. And then I'm going to go take my next job. Is that what you would rather him say? You can tell when people have never been there before and they've never experienced things like that. Like, no coach has ever left Auburn and gone and taken another job. They either retire here or they get fired. They've never – it's not like you go find – Auburn is maybe not the top destination job, but it is one of those that can be a destination job. The first time that a coach leaves Auburn for a quote-unquote higher job or quote-unquote better job will be the first time. It just blows my mind. I see things like he inherited one of the most talented rosters in the AAC and couldn't win a conference championship. It's like, I mean, I literally saw that in a tweet. Like, there were like bullet points of why Golish is a bad coach. And one was he inherited the most talented roster in the AAC. The most talented roster won one game the year prior. One. How is that the most talented roster? And then what they'll throw back is the strength of schedule the year prior, because they did play Cincinnati, SMU, and UCF, and those teams went on to, you know, different conferences. Well, that's only three. That's only three teams. You lost 10. You lost what? Eight more games. Or seven more games. It's an awful job. This idea that it's just chock full of NIL and anybody can win there is garbage. Charlie Strong couldn't win at South Florida. Charlie Strong was a stud. I know he struggled as a head coach at Texas, but like, he's a great coach. Like, that should have been a pretty easy deal for him to recruit that area. I mean, being his ties to the University of Florida, couldn't do it. Jeff Scott was one of the hottest up-and-coming coaches coming off like a national championship. Can't win. You don't even have your own stadium. Like, I don't understand the just not being able to understand who you are and grasp who you are as a program. Auburn, in their darkest time, your coach ran to Auburn in the darkest time of Auburn football. Ran to Auburn after a 9-3 year. Probably could have brought back a lot of that team and had an even better year the next year. But, yeah, he ran to Auburn, and, I mean, he did take some of the better players off of that roster and took him with him. I know that stinks, but that's who – like, that's South Florida in today's game. That's who you are. Like, just own that, and now you can become like the – instead of like being sour, you can become like the program that's – maybe that Golish has built it to where it can be a launching pad for coaches instead of a you know, black hole for coaches. You got guys like Skip Holtz, can't win. Charlie Strong, can't win. Jeff Scott, can't win. Like, just accept it. Accept who you are, and it just is what it is. I think everybody here is excited about what Golish brings and what he can do, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, they're mad. They're big, big mad right now. Want to talk about this point guard addition, and I want to talk about Auburn Goff and Jackson Coivin in particular in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to the PTAC Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika. I got to head there. I think I got an appointment for tomorrow to have my regular oil change and service. Going to have a couple other things looked at. And I know that they're going to be honest. It's not going to be a fleecing maximization of a visit from a revenue standpoint. I can trust everything they say and know that if they tell me something serious, then I believe it's serious. Auto hospitality is the next big thing. They're doing it here and in their Alabaster location. Locally owned and operated. Show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then, guys, I'm going to beat it until you get tired of it. BuyAuburn.dadgum.com. Be who you say you are, just like Alex Golish says. Do business with Auburn people everywhere. We've got a professional business network, over 20 businesses now and continuing to grow, adding new, seemingly new ones every single day. If you want to list your business here, it's less than a dollar a day. You can have this message shouted to a lot of different Auburn fans, Auburn listeners. Do business with Auburn people before you do anything. But if you need something, go to buyauburn.com first. See if there's an Auburn person on there that can handle it. Start there. Start at buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. All right, let's talk about George Kimble, the third point guard from Vanderbilt. Just added yesterday. Haven't had a chance to talk about him yet. So, real quick, if you look him up, you're going to be like, what the heck? He didn't play at Vanderbilt last year. He had a knee injury in the spring of last year, okay? And it took him out for the whole season. I think in January he was released as far as, like, being back to full speed and being able to practice. And I think there's a couple of quotes of him saying, you know, I kind of feel like myself again, back to full speed, and there should be no lingering effects of that said injury. So you don't have really anything to go off of from last year. But if you look at his season from two seasons ago at Eastern Kentucky, you're going to get excited. He had 18 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists per game. Really good, you know, pretty good three-point shooter. I think somewhere around 35%. Really good from the free throw line as well. And crazy defender, like just nasty, nasty defender. If you want to look at like how his game translates against, you know, a potential like Power 5 competition, Power 4 competition, they played Louisville that year, and he scored 24 points. He had 24 points. Let's see. 24 points. He had 3 assists, 3 steals. There you go. 3 steals. So he almost averages 3 steals a game. Like very, very good defender. And they also played Pitt that year, and he had 16 points. And let's see, 1 rebound. So shot really well from 3 in both of those games. He was 4 of 10 from 3 against Louisville, and he was 4 of 7 from 3. So that's what, 8 of 17? That's right, almost 50% in those two games. You always want to see, okay, sure, he slapped up on the Austin Peay's and the Lipscombs and the Florida Gulf Coasts and the Stetsons. He whipped up on those guys, but how did he do against some of the better competition that he played? And there you go, played Louisville and Pitt and showed out for the most part. So how does that factor into the lineup and how he fits in with, you know, Tahad and Overton? To me, it's perfect. It's like the perfect marriage. If he's okay, which it seems he does, he is coming off the bench and spelling Tahad. And the cool thing is that you can have this really neat rotation of those three guys where, you know, Kimball comes in at point. Maybe Tahad slides over and gets some action at the two. You know, you could even put Overton at wing if you wanted to and run a really fun small ball lineup. Like, you just got a guy with experience that, you know, has scored a bunch of points that's going to come in and hopefully be able to actually give Tahad meaningful rest So it's not so demanding on him to grind all year long, especially when you get into that SEC schedule. Holy cow. I mean, Tahad was playing, you know, especially in that NIT run. I mean, he's playing almost 40 minutes a game. Like, that's just a big, big load. And so I think the hope is George Kimball can not only just you put him in there and survive, but maybe he can go in there and thrive and be a really, really good sixth man off the bench. So that's a big addition. It's so hard to convince somebody to come play behind Tahad Pettiford. I feel like that's just almost an impossible task, because why do guys go in the portal? They either want more money or playing time. And so maybe he got a little bit more money, but it's not like the playing time was necessarily there. So they're going to have to find creative ways to get him in the mix. I think he can be a very, very it could be a really big addition for a multitude of reasons. So really good job to Stephen Pearl there for landing that one. Now I want to switch gears, and I know we rarely ever talk about golf. Okay, we rarely talk about college golf. We rarely talk about Auburn golf. And honestly, I've wanted to start an Auburn golf podcast. It probably won't be every day, but I may still do it if there's some interest. But Auburn golf is just on an incredible run, and in particular, Jackson Koivun. And currently, you're playing in the SEC Championship. They finished round one. So the way the SEC Championship works, they play it in Seaside in St. Simons Island. But they play three rounds, okay? And that will determine the individual champion, okay? An individual, like, we're playing as a team, but they do award an individual champion. So they do three rounds. That will determine the individual champion. And then they take the top eight teams. So you got to finish as a team high too. The top eight, and then they go into a match play tournament where it's man on man, but it's team on team. Okay, so that's how you determine the SEC champion. That's how you determine the SEC championship individually and as a team. So they've completed round one, and Auburn is just a couple shots back. They're four shots back as a team. Okay, all you got to do, again, you want to finish in that top eight. And then from the player, like from the individual standpoint, Jackson Koivun shot a 64 yesterday, 6 under. He's just so nails. He's only two shots back on the individual championship, and he's still got, you know, two more rounds. Okay, so we're going to keep following that. They play today. They play the second round today, and hopefully they'll continue to play really well and get into the match play, because anything can happen in match play, and, you know, you have a chance to maybe win another SEC championship and just kind of propel you, give you some momentum into regionals for the national championship. And as those start to come out, we'll talk about that a little bit more. But I want to talk about Jackson Koivun for a second, okay? We got statues of Cam Newton, Bo Jackson, Frank Thomas, Charles Barkley. And honestly, Jackson Koivun may have a more impressive resume on a collegiate standpoint than all of them, comparatively, okay? Let's talk about this for a second. Right off the bat, in 3 years, he's won 10 collegiate tournaments and individually, okay? So I want to give you some context, a comparison to that. That's a pretty rare club to be a part of, double-digit wins, okay? As a matter of fact, I think there's only three, and it's Tiger Woods, John Rahm, and Phil Mickelson. Or it's a small group, but it includes those names, Tiger Woods, John Rahm, and Phil Mickelson. You heard of those names? Those guys are pretty good. He beat Tiger Woods. It was like a 30-year, 36-hole scoring record. Okay, in a collegiate tournament. So he broke a Tiger Woods record, and he's won essentially every single Heisman level award that you can win as a collegiate golfer. So, like, if you're talking about winning a Heisman gets you a statue, I don't know where they'd put the statue. I guess up at the golf at the golf complex, and then nobody would ever see it. but he's won those level awards already. He won that actually his freshman year, which is just insane to think about. Think about this. This is what's crazy. Okay. In 2025, he played a number. He got several appearances in a number of PGA Tour events as an amateur. Okay. So what that means is if you want to still play college golf, which this is funny that we're still pretending that there's amateurs out there and they're not already making money, because I'm sure he's making a nice NIL salary. But if you go play in a PGA Tour event as an amateur, you can do that. You just can't win any prize money. So you go play for the love of the game. All right. So last year he played in several events. And he had one, two, three, four. He had four top 11 finishes, two top fives, which is wild. If he would have played on the PGA Tour that year, he would have won over $1 million. And he wasn't allowed to take any of it. I mean, this kid's unreal. And he's right in the thick of potentially going for a three-peat as the individual SEC champion. Yeah, he's won it in back-to-back years. And I think the only time that's been done is like all the way back to like the 60s. And he has a chance to do the three-peat, which will only be done, I think, the second time. I mean, he's literally he's one of the best Auburn athletes ever, if you look at it from across the board. If you compare his success to football, baseball, basketball, any of the bigger sports, he's had just as much success and potentially more success. Won a national championship, won an SEC championship as a team. Like he's incredible. So let's cheer him on. Let's cheer him on, see if he can go for the three-peat and then cherish these last several moments, because he's already earned his PGA Tour card. And he's going on to hopefully light up the PGA Tour. And how fun would that be to be able to watch a young Auburn guy play potentially high-level PGA Tour golf? We've already seen him do it as an amateur. So as a pro, where that's what he's doing full-time, and he's not, you know, we're not playing pretend school and all that kind of stuff, who knows how good he can be. So let's see how he does. Guys, really, really appreciate you listening. Let me know what you think about the South Florida fans. Let me know what you think about George Kimball III. And show some love in the comments to Jackson Koivin. Guys, have a great day. We'll talk again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.